I want to go ahead and start the service off this morning with John 3:16. We'll go ahead and turn there. That's our first verse. And we're going to be talking today about being thankful. I mean, that's the theme this week. And I don't like to be cliche. I don't like to do what everybody else is doing. But I guess, you know, the Lord's like, you know, this is what we're doing today. We're going to talk about being thankful. But John 3:16, and this is a verse I think that a lot of people know, a lot of people have heard at least once in their life. You see it on billboards posted around. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, when we talk about being thankful for things, and if we could rank, if you will, everything that we need to be thankful for in life, I think that right there probably should go at the top. Maybe you could argue some other things that, I don't know, that the world was created, okay, you know, I can see how somebody could argue that. But as far as the individual and the gift of salvation, I think, should be at the very top of everything that we're thankful for. Why? Because if you didn't have salvation, nothing else would matter, right? If you didn't have salvation, you know, what would this life be, would even be for? It wouldn't even make any sense. You see those people that go in this, they live life like it's, you've heard that saying before, live every day like it's your last, right? And they use that kind of that slogan, if you will, sometimes to say, hey, have fun. You know, today could be your last day, have fun, right? They want to live like that. But you know what, I tell you what, for a Christian, we can't live every day like it's our last. In one sense, I guess I can understand that slogan, to be honest with you. But in another sense, you know what, we're not living every day like it's our last. We're living every day, if you will, building up for something that's in the future. Right? Every day that the Bible says that we go through anything, it happens for the good. Everything that happens to us serves to build us up, as long as we're walking with Christ and we're staying steadfast in him. Everything that we do, the Bible says, once we get to the, once life is over, the Bible talks about that all our works are going to be tried. They're all going to be, basically, just kind of paraphrase this, this passage is, you know, all our works are going to be thrown into a furnace, if you will, and they're all going to be burned up. Whatever stays there, whatever work, if you will, that you did in life was worthwhile. That's not going to burn up, if you kind of understand what I'm saying. Right, and they're going to throw all that stuff in the fire, and whatever survives the fire, they're going to look at that and say, those were the good works. All the other stuff that you did, they're not good for eternity, right? All those other things that you did, that's not a big deal. But these works right here, those are the ones that matter. You know, Christ is going to look at those. And based on those, if you will, is how our rewards in heaven are going to work, right? So when we talk about living every day like it's your last, okay, on one point I can kind of understand that. But for the Christian, guess what? We're living every day to continue to build up to something, right? We're building up to something. The climax, if you will, in our life has not even happened yet. In movies, we like the movies. We like the point of the climax of the movie, the good part of the movie. Man, that's what makes the movie good, right? The build-up to that one memorable part of a movie. Man, in our Christian life, the memorable part hasn't even gotten here yet. Yeah, salvation, that was great. But you know what? Seeing Jesus face-to-face and whatever happens after that, that's the good part. That's the good part, right? This little life that we live now, it's just a little, the Bible calls it a vapor, if you will. Like just like you put out a candle and you see that little bit of smoke trailing for just a minute, that's like our life. It comes and it goes. It's going to go very quick. The Bible says again, John 3:16, God gave his Son for us. He died for us so that we could have salvation. You know, if God says, you know what, I gave you my Son, he died for you, and once you're at the end of your life, that's your gift, that's all we would ever need. God doesn't have to give us anything else. Why would he give us anything else? If he said, hey, I gave my Son for you, why do you need to depend on me for other stuff? I gave you the biggest thing you could ever ask for. I gave you something you probably didn't even know you needed, right? In my Son, I gave him up as a sacrifice, right? You don't need anything else. God has every right, I believe, to say that. Of course, he didn't even have to give up Jesus for us, did he? Right? But he did. But if God never gave us anything else ever in our life, that would be fine. That would be just. That would be correct. That would be right. Why does he have to give more than his Son? Ask yourself that. Why does God owe us anything more than his Son? He doesn't even owe us a Son, but we got it, right? But it's there. That gift is there. It's a free gift. He doesn't owe us anything else, right? So for us to go to God and complain, Lord, you didn't give me this and you didn't give me that. If I only had this, life would be so much better. Man, I tell you, that's a hard one for me to swallow, especially having been in the military, right? Buck up, sunshine. That's kind of the advice I sometimes want to give, you know? But I know the Bible says every word that comes out of our mouth has to minister grace. That kind of advice ministers grace to me, but I understand to some more tender heart, and I don't say that at all in a negative sense. There's times when I wish I had a more tender heart, I'll be honest with you. But at the same time, you know what? If God never gave us anything else except for his son, that would be enough, or it should be enough. And I dare say, and sometimes I want to look at people and say, how dare you, if you will, right? Come and try to point your finger at God and say, you don't have enough. Man, you kidding me? Goodness sakes. You know, he gave up his son, and you're asking for something else, right? What else do you want, right? But all that, you know, all that to say, you know, God gave us a son. You know, what a great thing to be thankful for. You know, singing all these songs of thanksgiving this morning. Count your blessings. I love that one. I sing that to myself ever since I was a kid. Even now, I sing that to myself 7 times a week. Man, I like that song. Count your blessings. Forget about all that bad stuff or the things that you think are bad. Everything you think is bad is not bad, really bad at all, right? According to the Bible, right? So count your blessings. Everything is a blessing. God's will is perfect. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. So we got the salvation piece out of the way. We got that part established, if you will. If God has never given us anything else in this life, that would be enough, right? But guess what? He's decided to give us more. He's decided to continue to bless us for whatever reason, right? Above and beyond what he's given us, he decides to keep on giving. He decides to keep on blessing us with stuff. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you may present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Right? It says reasonable service. That's expected. Right? If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, it's expected that you give yourself to him. That's expected. That's implied, if you will. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is that? How do you renew your mind? There's the question. So to proceed the perfect will of God, how do you renew your mind? Read your Bible, pray, go to church, right? Make sure you have good fellowship. Adding those other two things on. But read your Bible and praying is the foundation of that, which creates relationship with the Lord, right? But going to church and having a relationship with other Christians, people that are going to build you up and encourage you, that's the other part of it, right? How do you renew your mind? Do those things. Renew your mind. You go out to the workforce. You know, hopefully y'all have some good people you work with. But some of y'all out there might have some people you work with that are just crass and filthy mouth all the time and always complaining or just always doing something that seems to drag you down. How do you renew your mind? Man, go to the Lord. Lord, help me with this. Get to church. Do all these things. That's how you renew your mind. You basically hit the reset button for your mind to get going again. Man, I'm good. I'm set now. That's one thing that's fun about having special gatherings like we had down the church at Ephesus United a few weeks ago. Man, it's fun to do that kind of stuff. It's like a big reset. You know, getting together with other Christians, saying, hey, how you doing? And just forgetting the things of the world and just being around others of like mind. So now we've renewed our mind. And it says, once we renew our mind, once we reset, once we cast out all that mess that had been loaded up in our mind or that stuff that's been burdening us down, now what happens? It says that you may prove, right? So when we renew our mind, once we reset our Christian life and we get back in that peace and that walk with God like we're supposed to be, it says that will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you live in that space, guess what? God's will is going to be perfect in your life. God's will is perfect anyway. We understand that from this verse. But when you look at your life and you look at the things that could go wrong or do go wrong or the things that go right or could go right or could have, should have, would and all that stuff, and you say, I'm walking closely with the Lord. If you're walking closely with the Lord and you're continuing to renew your mind, guess what? God's will in your life is completely perfect. You don't have to question, let's point to something that might not be perfect, right, in a sense. Let's say that this weekend you fall into temptation, you go out and you get drunk at the bar, and you drive yourself home, and you have a car wreck, and you break your leg, right? You can't go to the Lord and say, Lord, I thought your will was perfect. That wasn't God's will at all for you to go down to the bar and get drunk and have a car wreck, right? So that's not the kind of stuff I'm talking about. That's your stuff. That's your mess. He can pull you out of it. He can make good out of that mess that you got yourself into. But that part, that's not God's will. If you stay in God's will and you renew your mind and you stay with the Lord, guess what? You're going to see the perfect will of God. You're going to see everything fall into place exactly like it should. Your will is completely out of the way, and God's will is everything in your life. His desires are your desires. You know, when the Bible says I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit. When the Lord says, if you follow him, he's going to give the desires of your heart. You ever heard that verse? Right? That's a good verse. Why? If you're following God, he's going to give you the desires of your heart. You say, well, one of the desires of my heart is a Ferrari. I'd love a Ferrari or Lamborghini, but God hasn't given it to me. That verse must not be true. You know what happens when you walk close with the Lord? Your desires change. They completely change, and that becomes God's desires. I remember sitting there one time, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, I can't think of anything that I want. All right? God, what do you want for me? I remember praying that to the Lord. What do you want for me, Lord? I want everything that you want for me. You know, just that as you get close with the Lord, your desires change. The Lord could give you a cardboard box to live out of for a couple years, and you know what? That's His desire for your life at that time, for whatever reason. You're going to be happy in that. You're going to find joy in that, saying, man, if that's God's desire for me, so be it. We see David write in the Psalms many times during his circumstances when he was running from Saul and going through some horrible times. He would write things, you know, just saying, giving the Lord thanks and praising Him for all kinds of things, even though his life wasn't going well. So we see that God's will is perfect. We renew our minds. We stay with the Lord. And guess what? God's will is perfect. We have to be thankful. Everything that God's, we've established that. We've established we're thankful for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for that. Right? We've established that if whatever comes in our life, as long as we're walking with Him, that His will in our life is perfect. So that means everything from then on out, we need to be thankful for. Right? We need to be thankful for these things. Even the stuff you've messed yourself up in, say, Lord, thank you for not letting it be worse. Right? Thank you for not letting it be worse, because it could be worse. That guy that was driving home drunk and broke his leg, he might have broke two legs. Right? He might have broke two legs and a toe. It could always be worse, right? He might have broke his toenail off and just one leg. It could always be worse, is what I'm saying. Thank you, Lord, that it wasn't worse than it was. Forgive me for getting myself in that mess. Let's get back on the right track. So be thankful. I'm going to turn to Psalms 9, chapter 9, verse 1. Psalms 9, 1 says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. Right? So we have, there's two parts of this verse here. We have the first part that says, I will praise you, Lord, O Lord, with my whole heart. That's a hard one sometimes. Do you find yourself praising the Lord with your whole heart? When you come to church, let's start there. When you come to church and we're singing, are you praising the Lord with your whole heart, or are you a little distracted? You're only doing yourself a disservice if you're distracted during singing, I'm telling you. Because if you learn how to, let's go this way. How effective do you think prayers are if you're praying to the Lord about something, you know, you're having your quiet time with the Lord, and you're thinking about, I don't know, some movie you watched last week while you're praying to the Lord. How effective is that? And I know if you're talking with the husbands, if you're talking with your wife, and you're supposed to be having your little chat time together, and you're watching the football game while she's talking at you, that's kind of hard, isn't it? One, the communication between you and your wife isn't good, but then also your focus on the football game isn't good either. So it's just kind of like, neither one of them is going really well. It's better to focus on one or the other. Now, I'll advise you, hopefully y'all can tell me this, because y'all have been around longer than me, you know, for the most part. But hey, listen to your wife, right? Turn the football game off, right? Or turn it down or something, right? And listen to your wife, right? Listen to your wife. That's a good thing. But again, you're giving her your attention. You're not splitting it, right? You're giving her all your attention. It's the same thing with the Lord. When we're praying and we let stuff distract us, you know what? Your prayers aren't going to be that good. You say, well, I prayed this morning. I just don't feel very good. Well, you know, try not to be distracted. That's why some people have what they call a prayer closet. There was that movie that came out several years ago called The War Room. Is that what it was? The War Room, right? And they talked about how this person had like their prayer closet. What an awesome practice that is, a habit. You might think, that's weird, go praying in the closet. Try it. And that's all I got to tell you. Try it. Close yourself off in some place that's completely quiet and pray to the Lord. It's different, I'm telling you. It's different. It's good. And it was interesting. They reviewed that on one of the big news stations. They did like a review or something on that movie. And the guy that was reviewing the movie broke down in tears as he was interviewing the directors of that movie, saying he implemented that in his life, a prayer closet. Man, he broke down on live TV there. This is one of the big news stations. And he said his prayer life has never been better, you know, telling these directors that, you know, having a prayer closet, you know, getting alone time with the Lord where your focus is completely on God, right? So we see that here. I will praise you, Lord, with my whole heart. Praising God is just another form of prayer, if you didn't know. The only thing prayer is basically means is communication with the Lord. That's what prayer is, right? That's just talking with the Lord. When we praise and we sing praises to the Lord, if you can praise the Lord without any kind of distractions and let your heart be in the same place it is as you are when you're praying, praise takes on a whole different level, if you will. It's very different than just going through the motions and just singing. You're robbing yourself if you're not praising the Lord that way. And I would encourage you to, man, try to find that. You're missing out. I'm telling you, you're missing out. So that's the first part of Psalms 9:1. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Now here's the second part. I will tell of all your marvelous works. Right? It says all of them. You know, one of the most powerful things a person can do to witness to another person is tell them about the things God has done for you. When we used to go door knocking, I remember, I don't like going through the whole, I used to go door knocking with one guy. I remember one time he started talking about, oh my goodness, I can't even copy this because it was so weird in a way. I think I appreciate his heart, maybe. I hope his heart was in that place. But whatever he was saying something. He would go to a door and he would say, hi, we're from such and such church. Have you ever heard about the Cain and Abel and Ezekiel complex or something weird like that? And I looked at him like, man, I've been in church a long time. I've never heard of that. So I'm listening to him. And it made no sense to me whatsoever. And somehow he got out there that that's why you need to be saved. And I was like, man, I was confused. I was asking myself, am I saved? If I didn't understand that, what's going on here? You know, but that's what he did that whole day. We went to probably, goodness, 20 houses. And he said the same thing every single door. And I was just like, what in the world is that? I hope your heart's right. No, I didn't tell him this, but I was thinking, man, hopefully his heart's in the right place because that's what the Lord looks at. It's our heart. But man, I couldn't understand him. So you know what I start doing when I go to people's door? I don't want to sound like the same person that, you know, everybody else. I just walk up the door. I didn't tell him what church I was from. I didn't care about that. I care more about telling about the Lord. I just go up and say, hey, let me tell you, can I tell you what God's done for me today or what God's done in my life? Yeah, sure. Yeah, why not? You know, a little conversation. Now I'm just telling, give my testimony. Something, a testimony. It doesn't have to be my testimony of my salvation, but something. You know, I tell about my accident a lot, how the Lord healed me from that, and all right, have a good one, you know, and give them a track, and that was it. Yeah, that's easy. That's why here it says, I will tell of all your marvelous works. That's a huge testimony. There's a lot of power in the things that the Lord has done for you. And that now you say, all your marvelous works, the Bible says here. Which works are marvelous? You ask the Lord. And that's the next question. Well, how am I supposed to know which works to tell? Which ones are marvelous? That's kind of like a silly question, because if you actually think about it, all God's works are marvelous, right? So, but now you need to change the way you look at all God's works. Now you say, well, look at my life. My life didn't amount to nothing, you know, and I feel like I'm not as good as so-and-so. Well, let's change your perspective here. You got to change the way you look at things, right? You have some things that another person doesn't have. There's things in your life that you can be thankful for. Can you breathe? Yep. Be thankful for your breath. The Bible says that God puts breath in our lungs. Right? I mean, be thankful for everything. Concentrate. Focus on these things. Do you have good health? Do you have decent health? Are you alive? Man, be thankful for these things. You know, make yourself be thankful for them. I know you can sit here and be like, well, you know, my life's not very good. Well, it's because there's that negative attitude popping out. Right? Christians shouldn't have negative attitude. You should always have a positive attitude. Because if the Bible tells us that we're to encourage and uplift one another, right? And how are you going to encourage and uplift one another if you're always down in the dumps? You're just completely walking against what God's will for your life is. Well, I just don't know how to do that. So how do we start? Renew your mind, right? Can we just talk about that? Renew your mind. How do you do that? Pray, read your Bible, be around good people, right? And I say good people, good Christians. That's how you do it. Make that a habit in your life every single day. You can renew your mind every single day if you want to. Start your day off right. If you feel like your prayer time and your Bible study is not amounting to much, take the extra step. Make a prayer closet. Fasting. You ever try fasting? Fasting is an interesting thing. Fasting, basically the idea behind fasting is getting rid of all the physical or denying the physical so the spiritual side of your life becomes stronger. Right? And science backs this up. Science backs this up, and it's interesting the scientists that do back this up, or at least started backing this up initially, was NASA and the astronauts. Right? The astronauts, what they would do, they would put these astronauts to try to simulate space training, and they would put them in these like big old vats of water. And they would make this water a certain amount. They put a certain amount of salt in the water so it would be buoyant, if you will, so you couldn't sink. So they put these astronauts in there so the astronauts could experience weightlessness and the absence of sound, the absence of light, and of everything. They'd put them in there, and every single time, they said, the NASA said this, every single time those astronauts would come out of there saying that they were hearing voices, they was doing just weird stuff was happening, things that weren't of the physical. I'm telling you, it's some odd stuff, right? You can read about it. All right, there's certain places, certain relaxation spas are putting that into practice. They're doing the exact same thing. I watched the guy do this, man. He was like, I've been hearing about this, and you know, this relaxation technique that they're doing, getting this big old vat of water, and they take away all light, all sound, all everything, and they just put you in there. So they put him in there, and you know, there's like this video on YouTube, and they put the guy in there, and I think he was only in there for like 15 minutes or something like that. And they said, we'll come and get you when you're done. You know, and he said, all right. So they closed him in there. 15 minutes came by, and they went to get the guy out. And he looked like a caveman. I'm not joking. He was looking around like he didn't know what was going on. He was asking if everything was real. He's like, is this real? Had that big of an effect on him, right? So going back to fasting, right? What is fasting? Denying the physical, right? Denying the physical, getting mastery, if you will, of your physical needs in order to fill yourself up with the things of God. That's kind of what fasting is supposed to be. When me and my wife fast, what we'll do is, instead of breakfast, what we'll do, we'll have a devotion together and pray, right? Lunch, we won't eat. We'll have a devotion together and pray. And whatever it could be about, we'll usually fast for specific things, you know, in our life, whatever it is, and we'll fast about it, you know, a couple things at a time. But that's what we'll do. For dinner, 9 times out of 10, we'll go ahead and eat a late dinner. But we don't normally fast for more than, like, until the next morning. If you do that, that's fine. We don't normally do that. But like I said, fasting is an interesting thing. Try it. If you feel like your prayer life is stagnant, if something's not going on, try that stuff out, right? That's why we see that stuff in the Bible. Be thankful. The wonderful deeds of the Lord. You know, it's easy to think about the good things that God has done for you. It's hard to be thankful for the tragic things, let's say, right? It's hard to be thankful for that. Is it easy to be thankful for, and I'm just going to bring out some examples here that I've heard from other families that I've seen them be thankful for. Is it easy to be thankful for the passing of a child? Does anybody ever hear the music of, his name just popped out of my head. Uh-oh. He's a Christian contemporary artist. Stephen Curtis Chapman. Anybody ever hear his testimony about how he lost one of his children? Man, I tell you what, to hear that testimony, oh my goodness. You see a lot of Christian artists today, and even a lot of Christian writers of music in the past. If you hear their testimony, you're going to see some of the most tragic testimonies you've ever seen in your life. I don't know what it is about Christian musicians and their having tragic things happen, I tell you what. But I'm going to tell you something. You see somebody, you can say, I lost, I can't remember how old their child was when they died, but when he died, he or she, I can't remember. But, you know, he even says it. You know, I can be thankful for this. How in the world, Stephen Curtis Chapman, can you be thankful for that? You lost a kid, you know? How can you be thankful for those kinds of things? But he's learned to do it, right? He's learned to be thankful. How can you say, this is one of the good things that have happened in my life? You know, but the Bible says, hey, all your marvelous works. Let's look at Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 is another one of those verses I think we can probably quote by heart. But it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to this purpose. And what I want to point out there, it says, for all things work together for good. You can't get away from that. I don't know what you want to call it. You can't scoot that around and try to say, well, sometimes that's not true. You can't say that. With the Lord, if you love the Lord and you're trusting in Him, guess what? Everything that happens in your life is good. I don't care if you had a car wreck and you about lost your life or you got paralyzed. God says that happened for the good. I don't care if you lost a child or just use your imagination. The worst things that could ever happen to you, if you're walking with the Lord and you try to say, Lord, guess what? You know, I want to do more for you and something bad happens, you can't say that didn't happen for the good. That's your mentality on it, but that's not what God says. God says it happened for the good. Why? I don't know. Well, yeah, I do know, actually. I know why that bad stuff happens. We'll talk about that in a second. But you know what? You can't say that didn't happen for the good. Why? Because then you're calling God a liar. Everything that happens, sickness has come down, lost love, everything, it happens for the good. You can't look at God and say, why did this happen? Why am I poor? Why am I sick? Why am I this? Why did this person leave me? Why did this? You can't say that. God can look back at you and say, hey, it's good. It's for your good. And what are you going to do? Call God a liar and say, I know better than you do, Lord. And try that shoe on for size and see how it works for a while. It doesn't work very good, right? It doesn't. Always, you know, God's will is perfect. We just read that. Look at, I'm turning a lot of places this morning. So if you just want to listen, it's fine. I'm going to turn to Philippians 4 and verse 6. Kind of sniffling. Sorry about that. My mom used to tell me, it's impolite to sniff your nose, you know. I'm like, what do you want me to do, Mom? Am I snot drip all over the podium while I'm teaching? I don't know what else to do. My dad, she makes my dad use a, man, if they ever listen to this recording, well, I guess it'd be fine. But my dad, she makes my dad use a handkerchief. My poor dad. But he'll wipe his nose while he's preaching. It'll get stuck in his mustache and stuff like that. I'm like, geez, man, keep wiping. You missed a lot of it. Keep going. You didn't get all of it. That's what my mom's like. I don't want to suffer that kind of embarrassment. So I'm just going to sniff it up. So y'all are going to have to deal with it. If it grosses you out, I'm sorry. But Philippians 4:6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Right? It doesn't say with some thanksgiving. It says with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You know what's interesting about that? We see and we quote that verse many times. We hear other preachers quote it. The peace of God that passes all understanding. What a great thing. What precedes that? Right? That's not just something. That just doesn't happen. That just doesn't happen. You have to do something to get that peace. It's not like you're just going to have that peace all the time. It's just going to pop up out of nowhere. And man, guess what? There's that peace. And it always happens. It doesn't always happen. There's something that precedes that. This is kind of one of these if-then statements. If you do this, then this will happen. If this, then this. If you climb up on the roof and jump off, well, then something's going to hurt. Right? That's how it works. If you draw a black mark on the white paper, there's going to be a black mark. Then there's going to be a black mark. Right? So one of those if-then things. So we look at this. Be anxious for nothing. Right? Don't worry. Try not to worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, right? That's easy. It's easy to go to the Lord with prayer and supplication when things are bad, isn't it? Man, when things are good, we forget the Lord. That's the funny thing. When things are bad, good, we forget. When things are bad, we go to the Lord in prayer and supplication like crazy. Lord, help, help. I need help. Help me out here. But then what's the other part that we forget here? With thanksgiving, doesn't it? With the Lord, everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So there's the if statement. That if you do this, right? So we have to go to the Lord with prayer and supplication, but that's not the only part. We have to do it with thanksgiving. No matter how bad things are in your life, you have to go to the Lord and be thankful for it. You have to go to the Lord and be thankful for it. Whatever situation you find yourself in, and then guess what's going to happen? Then what happens? Then, in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. There's something we have to do to get that peace. Pray to the Lord. Don't try not to worry. Right? That's easier said than done. But we have to go to the Lord with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Then we can get that peace that passes all understanding, that surpasses all understanding. That's a hard one. Again, now we go back to the hard. We have to be thankful for all the hard things in life. Be thankful. If you can't, make yourself do it. If you're having a hard time being thankful for whatever circumstance you're in, say it out loud. Just say it out loud so that not only are you saying it, you're hearing yourself say it. Because whatever goes in your ears, guess what? You're going to think about it at some level. You're going to think about things that you say at some level of your subconscious or whether you're actually focusing on what you're saying. Because whatever goes in your mind, you know, when you sit there and meditate on it, that's the kind of stuff that gets written on your heart. And that's the kind of thing that starts driving your behavior, right? We are all a product of our behavior. I mean, of our decisions, if you will, right? We're all a product of our decisions. We make decisions based on the things that we think and the things that we feel and whatever comes out of our hearts. That's some weird psychological mumbo jumbo, but it's not really mumbo jumbo. That's actually true. You know, out of the abundance of our mouth, abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. You know, that's even psychology finds that to be true. Whatever's in your heart, that's how you're going to behave. You fill your mind up with good stuff. Guess what? That stuff gets written on your heart, and whatever your heart's full of, that's what's going to come out. That's the kind of fruit you're going to have. That's the kind of behavior you're going to exhibit, right? So you see a Christian that's always down and out. What do you think about? What are they filling their heart with, right? Sometimes when we think about the problems, we can go to a bookstore and we can see all these self-help books, but it's not really that complicated. What does the Bible say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is that person saying? How are they acting, right? That's not hard to identify. If they're acting down in the dumps all the time, guess what? Their heart is not full of anything good. That's not hard to figure out. You know, we can go to school for 8 years to get a psychological degree, and I'm not downing these people that study that stuff. I think it's important to a certain degree. But there's a lot of things that sometimes we say, well, church can't help me out with that. That's beyond the Bible. No, it's not. This stuff's not, it's not meant to be that complicated, you know, with certain things, right? If you look down in the dumps or you see somebody down the dumps, try to encourage them. That's what our job as a Christian, right? Try to encourage one another. Right? Get them. Ask them. Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Because if you were filling your heart up with good things, the Bible says your mouth is going to say good things. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, right there it is. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that's how we get the peace of God that passes all understanding. Again, that just doesn't come out of nowhere. We have to be thankful for everything. You know, I'm listening to some people that were talking to the prayer team and talking to the new deacons that are coming on and some other people in church. Man, stuff ain't good right now. Be thankful for it. Ask God, Lord, I'm going to make myself be thankful for it. That's the turning point. That's the turning point of getting a handle on things that are messed up in your life. Horace, be thankful for the pneumonia you had. For whatever reason, God said that was for your good. I don't know why. Be thankful for it. Make yourself be thankful for these things. Right? You got to do it. Then the peace of God comes around. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in everything. That's another one of those verses. I know before my dad used to give me a whipping, he used to say, oh, you'll thank me later. It's like, I'm not thanking you now. You know, he said, you'll thank me later. And I do. I thank my dad later now for all the whippings I got. Goodness. But during that time, that was awful. Thank me later. Yeah, okay, Dad. Back at Romans 8:28, and this is the reason. Why do bad things happen in life? Why does God let everything happen in life? Everything horrible happen, both good and bad. Here's the question, the answer for all Christians. If you're going through something bad, guess what? This is why. This is why you're going through something bad. Either you put yourself in the mess, right? Or there's another part to it. What is it? Romans 8:28, we just read it. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Here's the answer. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God looks at you and says, I gave my son for you, right? But life ain't going to be pretty. You know, not always. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. You have your ups and downs. Jesus said, don't be surprised when they hate you. They hated me. They're probably going to hate you too, Jesus said. But guess what? God lets all these things happen. Why? Because I want to make you like Jesus. That's what God says. I want to make you like Jesus. He says, what did he say here? For whom he did foreknow, right? He did predestinate. I like that because the Bible says before it even talks about in Psalms, you know, how that he knew us before we were fearfully and wonderfully made, right? He foreknew us. This is an intimate thing. He looked for it. He said, I know this person. I know who I'm going to make him out to be. He says, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. This whole plan in your life, God's perfect will was set out before you were conceived. I mean, way before then. Before the foundations of the world, God says he knew you. And that's kind of an interesting thing because we can't fathom a time before time. We can't fathom that. We always think in terms of time. God doesn't. I don't know how that works. That's wild to me. I've tried to think outside of time, try to not think about it. That's hard. But God says, you know what? He wants to make you like Jesus. What better goal for your life in God's plan, in his perfect will, what better goal, what higher goal could God have for you than to say, I want to make you like Jesus? There's nothing else. Right? They always say, shoot for the stars and you might hit some mountains or something like that. Whatever, however that saying goes. You know what God says? I'm going to make you like my son. What? There ain't nothing better. How can you get any better than that? For goodness sakes, what else do you want? So now we go back to being thankful for everything that God has let happen in your life. Right? So we go back to our circumstances, our situation. So-and-so is rich. Why am I not rich? I don't know. Ask God. In his perfect will, he says, nope, you can't have that. Because that's not good for you. Everything that I'm going to do in your life is going to happen for the good. Why? Because I want to make you like my son. We are already God's children, aren't we? Right? It is up to a father and a mother to train their kids in the way they should go, the Bible says. What's different about us as Christians? God's got to train us up in the way we should go too, right? Paul even talks about it. You know, some people get milk. You know, he talked about milk and meat and different kinds of food. You know, you don't give babies a bunch of 30-ounce steak, do you? Eat it, kid. You know, it's good for you. You're not going to say that to a baby. Right? You got to give him milk. What if God did that, though? What if God says, if you can't understand this wisdom that's the equivalent of a 30-ounce steak and you've only been saved for a day, good riddance. God doesn't say that, does he? He tailors it all. He tailors all of our stuff. We've been studying in the Wednesday morning Bible study about how the Holy Spirit comes alongside and tailors, searches out the wisdom of God, and he looks at us and says, you know what? This kind of wisdom is good for you now, and he gives it to us. And this kind of wisdom is good for you now. The Holy Spirit does that. He tailors our life out so we're learning things as we need to. He's not going to give us too much. He's not going to give us stuff that we don't understand right away. Yeah, there's stuff we don't understand, of course. But the Holy Spirit tailors all that stuff to us. And he says, you know what? Horace might understand something about the Bible that this other Christian understood on day one of his Christianity. But for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit, the way he works, he made it so Horace wouldn't get that lesson, let's say, until later on in life. I don't know why the Holy Spirit does it. I just know he does it. And guess what? Be thankful for it. So everything the Lord does, you know, he does it so we could be like Jesus. There's no higher goal, if you will, that anybody can put on your life. God looks at us and says, no, you know what? You were a murderer and a thief before, or you were a drunkard before, or you were a good for nothing before. And he says, you know what? If you're my child, I'm going to put this goal on your life. I'm going to make you like my son. Man, what? We are thankful already for salvation, Lord, but man, you're going to go the extra mile, the extra million miles, right? And say, hey, I'm going to make you like my son. Man, that's hard to imagine. That's hard to even fathom if you think about it. Why does God love us that much? I don't know. I look out at some of y'all. I love y'all. I really do. I do. And the more I get to know you, I love you. But some of y'all are funny looking. I say that in an endearing sense. I say that as endearing. Please understand that. My wife says, you need to quit calling people goofy looking. I say that because it's like an endearing thing to me. Guys, what do we do? Sometimes I hear y'all do it. Charles and y'all working out on the deck when we first got here, ragging on each other all the time. I was thinking like, geez. But you know what? Guys do that. They endear themselves once in a while. I don't know why we do that. I don't know why. My best friend, the way I got to know him, man, we used to insult each other with the worst things you could imagine. My goodness. We ended up being best friends. How that worked out. We still do that. You know, just, man, goodness. I think about some of the stuff we used to do. But you know what? When I say that, when I look out at some of y'all, and I say this with all the love I can, some of us are funny looking. Not all of us are beauty queens or muscular or really man. I don't know. You know, whatever society says is the standard for this. Right? I look out, but I look and I even look at myself and say this. But you know, why in the world does God love us? You know, of all of God's creation, He made the angels for goodness sake. Of all of God's creation, He says, you know what? There's CW in the back there, you know, and then we got Stone here, we got Sylvia. Of all of God's creation, He says, I'm going to make them, and I'm going to love them more than anything. I don't know. Not only am I going to love them more than anything, I'm going to give my son up for them to die. There's another big one, but it doesn't stop there, does it? Not only that, I'm going to set a goal for their life, and I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to tailor your life to my perfect will just to make you, because I want to make you like Jesus. And guess what? It doesn't even stop there, does it? There's a point. What did Jesus say when He left in Acts chapter 1? I'm going to prepare a place for you, didn't He? I'm going to go prepare a place for you. It doesn't even stop there. You know, we're going to get up there one day. We don't even know what kind of place He's preparing for us. We're going to get up there one day, and we're going to have the best place ever prepared for us. More things to be thankful for. Not only that, we're going to have a glorified body. I'm excited about that one. I can't wait to be running again. If y'all think you can run, couldn't match me before, I'm telling you. All right? But I say that jokingly, but man, I'll tell you what, there's things that when we get to heaven, not only do we get a place prepared for us by Jesus Himself, there's so much to look forward to. We get a glorified body. You're not going to have an old body anymore. You have to worry about bills and all this other mess, right? But we look at this life, and to kind of summarize everything we've been saying, we have to be thankful for everything, because everything that God does for us is for our good. We can't look at God and say, that's not for me, Lord. That wasn't good for me. Because then you're just looking at God and you're calling Him a liar. But as long as we're walking with the Lord, we don't have to worry about His will not being perfect. We have to understand that everything that God does for us, there's a goal to it. And the goal is to make us like Christ. Right? And one promise God gives us in Philippians chapter 1, I think we might have heard this, is there's something that I can't remember. Somebody wrote a song on this. He who began a good work in you will finish it. Right? God's not going to stop because we messed up. That's the cool thing. Because the Lord gave me this and I just completely messed it up. Guess what? His work doesn't stop. Just because you messed up, He's still working on it. You know, because we've fallen short and we've messed up. Lord, I messed up 10 million times. That statement is still true. I'm still working on you till the day of Jesus, He said. You're still a work in progress. You're still getting worked on. I don't know what the finished product is going to be. We're all going to be a different finished product. See, that's an interesting thing. Phil, once you're at your max maturity level, if you want to look at it that way, it's going to be different than somebody else, you know, because of the way God made us. But, you know, if I can encourage you all this week, I know we just had Thanksgiving and been singing all these thankful songs, and I really like them. But you know what? You need to start looking at life differently. If you're one of those people that has a hard time trying to find the positives in life, you need to ask God to help you with that, because that's a weakness. Just like somebody's weak with alcohol, being weak and always seeing the negative things in life, that's a weakness, right? That's a weakness. Ask God to help you with that. That's not a Christian thing. Whatever you fill your heart up with, that's what's going to come out. That's the kind of fruit that's going to come out. You might say, my circumstances are horrible. I don't care. Joseph lived in prison for how many years, you know, wrongfully. Remember that? He was thrown in prison for doing the right thing. You know, he found a way to make the best of it, didn't he? Right? That's how we have to look at life. I don't care your circumstance. I mean, I do on one hand. But as a pastor and as a preacher, especially a prior military, what I'm going to tell you, are you praying and walking with the Lord? If you're not and you're not finding peace, there's something wrong there. That's between you and the Lord. And I can only do so much to help you. I can only say, read your Bible and pray. I mean, how much more advice do you need? You know, so many things can be fixed by doing that. All right. I love y'all. Let's go ahead and have a verse of invitation. Yeah.